Okay, everybody, we're starting again. The next item on the agenda before public comment is the report of the affiliates coordinator, Ursula Rudenberg. As with all the reports, we are asking that the presenter limit the comments to preferably a third of the time available so that we can spend the bulk of the time in discussion about the issues. If everybody would please give their full undivided attention to Ursula, who works very hard and does not have a lot of time in this agenda to address us, I'd appreciate it. So I'm going to wait until every member of the board is quiet before we begin. I'd like to ask every member of the board at this time to stop talking, please, and give your attention to our affiliates coordinator. Hang on a second.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead, Ursula.
Hi, this is Ursula Rudenberg, affiliates coordinator, and greetings to all of you. Two weekends ago, I went to Seattle, Washington, with the blessings of our executive director, and met with a network of radio stations that's forming in the Pacific Northwest. They call themselves the Northwest Alliance. And it's a collection, Rip Robbins was there with me, and it was a collection of, I don't know, what would you say, Rip, about 50 to 100 stations?
Yes, there actually were about 75 people there on the first day when we were discussing governance. Mm-hmm. Probably about 140 or 50 people went to the workshops the next day.
So it's a large collection of radio stations that are in the Pacific Northwest, Canada, and Alaska. And it is really the first other network of community radio stations that is forming, complete with a governance structure. They're going to hire a coordinator. So it was a very interesting development, which is an interest that is growing in regional networks of community radio stations. I went there to represent Pacifica. Pacifica is has one thing that they really need and are interested in, which is the ability to use the audio port to exchange sound. One of their goals is to exchange content with each other, and are talking with us about using audio port to do that. And this is a very interesting development. I wanted to share it with you because it is really another network that's growing up around this country. Some of the stations are Pacifica affiliates. Some of them are not. I think the people organizing the network are interested in using their network to bring affiliates to us as part of the process. It was a very interesting experience for me, and I wanted to share it with you because it was remarkable to me how I kind of felt like when I came into the room, I was like T-Rex, and everybody acted that way. And I think this is important because I was really impressed by how far we still have to go to redeem our reputation. It was a very interesting experience. The good news, I heard a lot of negative things about us. The good news was that the affiliates of ours that were there were just really incredibly supportive and our best advocates. I think Rip's engineer said we were the best thing since sliced cheese, right? So it was an interesting experience. I wanted to just share it with you for a minute. I think that it's a development that will actually impact us in the long run in a great deal in terms of more connections and resources and probably content regionally developed in the Pacific Northwest in community radio. I also want to report that the Informativo Pacifica, the Spanish newscast, has gone over extremely well throughout the network. I think currently between 13 and 16 radio stations are trying it out right now, and it's getting very good reviews. I think Rip station runs it, and Nathan, your station does too. So it's done very well. So I would really like to acknowledge KPFK for their great work that they're doing on that, and all the and more than that. I just really, you know, this is an abstraction, but I really want to make a nod to all those people in South America and Central America who are sending us news of what's happening down there and the, you know, the real revolution that's happening. It's a great privilege to be passing this on. I also want to express my appreciation for the election show, Informed Dissent. It's great to have that to offer to the affiliates. I have been a little bit too busy to promote it yet, but in the coming weeks I'm going to be talking to a lot of stations about it, and it's really great to have that to offer to the affiliates. As I understand it, I haven't been real in touch with developments, but as I understand it, Greg informed me that he and Lonnie are planning to recommend allocation for some money for the affiliates program this year, and I would like to thank them for that. I think it'll be a great, it'll be money well spent, and it'll make things a lot easier for me, certainly. And as part of the discussions about the funding for the affiliates program, one of the results of that was that a decision was made to ask the affiliates whether we could raise the fees, which would really be the first time we really significantly raised them since the program started. I came up with what I felt was a good strategy for raising the fees with the help of Pete Caracas, who's great with numbers, and it turned out to be a good strategy. And the affiliate responded with a commitment and generosity. Nathan Station, I think, doubled their fee. 50% increase.
That's an applause line, people.
Our affiliates are small businesses. They're just like us. And so these are huge commitments on their part. And it was really quite something. So we had just one of the reasons we decided to raise fees was because I projected that the affiliates program would raise $200,000 this year or next year. And this was part of the strategy to do that. As a result of the fee increase, to date we have $199,000 in contracts and some change, and I think we're only $500,000 away from our entire $5,000?
Did you say 500?
Yeah. You said 500. $500.
Oh, big difference.
Thank you. $500 away from the projected income for the whole next year. So in other words, we are entering the year with the money in hand already. So whatever happens in the coming year will be above and beyond what we had hoped to even earn. So this is really what amounts to a, I think what they call a sea change. And what it means is that the affiliates program will continue to be able to support itself. And on top of that, it will, despite the money allocated towards it, it will be able to contribute as much and probably more to the network than it did last year. Last thing I want to say about that is that, there's several things. I want to speak to you about this because this is not just about money. I think it is great that the affiliates program is doing well financially and considering an upward curve financially. But it's also, in the process of doing this, I talked to every single station. So I talked to almost 100 stations. And the decision on the station's part to go with this really amounts to what was a referendum on the affiliates program. And I think this is an important piece of information for the board to have. In 1999, 2001, there was effectively a referendum passed by the affiliates on Pacifica when they all decided to boycott the station and decided that the affiliates program, as we knew it, had come to an end and no longer existed. What we have now is a referendum from the affiliates that basically this program is real, and they're prepared to support it. And this is a very important piece of information to know because the support for the affiliate program is based on the perception that there is a vision and a mission connected to this affiliates program that's consistent with the values that were part of the Pacifica struggle and a vision of partnership, and that this is absolutely essential to the success of this program. The affiliates have voted in favor of this, and it's very important that we understand the commitment that was made from then and renew our commitment to this philosophy with the affiliates program as we make our decisions. Finally, I want to thank the Affiliates Task Force because it was really their motion that required that these discussions happen. And I think that the result is about $40,000 that we didn't expect to have. And I think it's a good demonstration of when we cooperate and work together, that the results are surprisingly wonderful for us. Okay, so finally, I'm going to end. There were two things that I wanted to mention. I did want to say something about the audio port. The question was asked earlier about the backup system for the audio port. It is just not true that the request hasn't been made for funding for the audio port. I work together with the webmaster, and I know that every year the request is made for funding for that. It's about $2,500. I know that because I see it in the request that's issued. So the request is being made. I would like to impress upon the board what we're talking about this. This might sound like kind of an abstract piece of technology, but what we're saying is that I know for a fact that the audio port gets attacked constantly by hackers and other people that are trying to take the audio port down. It's a constant process. I don't know exact number, but it's huge. The audio, if somebody succeeds in taking down the audio port, which people are trying to do, we will lose all of the content that is in the audio port because we don't have any backup for it. If that happens, our affiliate program will be finished. It just absolutely will be finished because we have convinced the affiliates to put all of their content into this facility. This is what we're talking about. So I cannot impress upon you enough how much this $2,500 is worth. Thank you.
I'm going to recognize the affiliate directors first, then I got Lisa, Ray, and Mary. Go ahead, Rip.
Thank you. And thank you, Ursula, for a good report there. I want to comment on a couple things. It seems like Ursula's report is all about making money, and that's because she's under incredible pressure, especially over the past few years, to make money, as though that were the goal of the affiliates program. And she's actually met those targets, even though what I would like to impress on everyone is that this shouldn't be about making money. This is about outreach with our programming. And I just think that just like we spend money on, we just listened to a long list of programs that we spend money on, we don't look for profits back from Informativo or the election series. We look for listeners. And that's what we're getting out of the affiliates program. We're getting listeners to the Pacifica network. So the fact that the network is actually operating at a profit is simply a bonus. And I would hope that in the future she doesn't always have to come here and explain every dollar as though this were a commercial enterprise. That's one thing I have to say. And the other thing is about the audio port. During the break, I actually spoke to the ED and the CFO about this. And there was at least a verbal agreement, which our attorney has mentioned before as a contract, to provide the backup. And I understand there has been some hard drive delivered to New York, but that we need to not just put all of our eggs in a basket. It's a cliche, but it's really what we're talking about here. And according to the tech director, it would be advisable to put that on the West Coast, so that depending on power grid failures or other kind of technological interruptions, we would have a backup for this. And I did have an agreement that, yes, that's going to be looked into, because for the low price that this can be had at, there's no reason to have this tension in the room over it. And the national office could take care of this very easily, and there's an agreement to do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to say something else since we're talking about technology. I have repeatedly, in finance committee meetings and in informal discussions, heard this rumor that there's this idea out there that there is equipment belonging to Pacifica in the building where myself and Pete Caracas work. So I would like to say publicly, this is patently false. Somebody recently stunned me when they told me they thought that we had a server in our apartment. The server is sitting in a professional rack in Manhattan, So I would just like that to go on the record. In fact, we pay for all of our equipment and have been donating the cost for the electricity and the phone bill until now. Thank you.
Lisa.
First of all, Ursula, I thank you very much for your report, and I also echo the sentiments of what Rip has said. I don't want this question to sound like it's a contradiction or anything, but one of the things that you were mentioning, and I want to know if you could elaborate a little bit more, and you said you came up with a plan or a way to, I guess, approach the affiliates to help with, you know, increase the funding for the program. I would just like to know if you could comment a little bit on the approach that you took with that.
You mean how did we decide to decrease the funding?
Yeah, you said that you made a reference to some kind of creative way. You came up.
We took a look at the fees. The Pacifica affiliates, it's a one-fee service, which means that they pay a fee, and then they're entitled to all services. So there's no, you know, picking and choosing programs. The fee is a sliding scale so that some stations pay more than others based on their ability to pay. Now, there's a lot of discussion in radio about how to determine that fee scale, and in fact, there is no real model. I spoke with a lot of people about it. We decided to base it on operation budget because that seemed to be the fairest basis to do it on. Because basically, radio stations all pretty much have the same basic operating expenses. You know, obviously, there's some fluctuation, like we have the Empire State Building in New York. But in general, there's
Ursula,
a lot
of people won't know what you mean when you say you have the Empire State Building in New York.
Okay, sorry. At WBAI, the antenna is in a particular expensive place on the Empire State Building. But in general, there's an average cost that most radio stations have as a base cost. And what is above and beyond that is really money that it does not affect their survival. So that if a station has a larger operating budget, it means they have more money that they can, that's, you know, movable. So we based it on that. Now, what we noticed about the fee scale that we inherited from the prior administration, which we were using, is that it was incredibly skewed to favor large stations, so that the large stations were paying a very small percentage of their operating budget, and the small stations were paying a very large percentage. So what we did is when we did the increase, we upped the fees, but we changed the ratio of percentage of operating budget so that some of the stations, like Rip Station is a relatively small station, it had very little effect on his station because he was already paying a very large percentage of his budget. But like with Nation Station, it was kind of the opposite because Ward is a bigger station, so they took a pretty big hit. So in other words, the increase was borne by the large stations. Our stations are anywhere from stations that are, you know, failing financially and paying no money, or being attacked by somebody and paying no money, to some stations that have more than $1 million budgets. So we have a large spectrum. So we asked the large stations to pay for the increase, essentially. And they agree, and they agreed to do it based on belief in the network they wanted to support.
We have, we're at time. We have four more people on the stack and then public comment. I'd first like to ask, would the public have any objection if the board were to extend time several more minutes to accommodate further discussion about this? Does anybody here need to leave right now and won't be able to make their public comment if we extend? I don't see any indication that that's a problem. Is there any wish from the board to extend time to accommodate the four people on the stack?
To extend time for 10 more minutes.
10 minutes.
I have a question.
Yes.
Will there be another report on Sunday as we had expected?
No, we have switched the position of the affiliates coordinator and the election supervisor. This
okay,
is
then,
it.
Then as the chair of the affiliates committee, I would request maybe 1.5 minutes, and I will be passing out a report probably then tomorrow.
Okay. There's been a motion to extend by 10 minutes. Is there any objection to that? Seeing none, would you like to make your comment first? I'll recognize you because you're a member of the committee.
I encourage everyone here. I think that, was it maybe just a year ago, when Ursula made a presentation of a slide PowerPoint presentation, and people saw the different configurations of the affiliates, all sizes, all different kinds of services. I think then I could see from the looks on people's faces that they really more realistically understood what it was that we had an affiliates program. So now we have over 90 affiliates, and they're all unique. I encourage people to go to www.pacificanetwork.org and see what the affiliates look like. I also encourage people to go to Grassroots Radio Conference, which happens once a year. It's just very hands-on and very exciting experience. Also to participate perhaps in what they call a barn raising, where you can, if you go with Prometheus, you can build a radio station in one weekend, which is very exciting. With the increased money that we make from our affiliates, I want to remind the National Board that we have a responsibility to take some of that money and give it back to the affiliates in guaranteeing the services that we're promising them in our contracts. We guarantee the audio port. We guarantee news headlines that are timely and factual. We guarantee national coverage without our station's IDs or pitches that they cannot have on their airspace or on the airwaves. All kinds of technological services which are essential. If a small station is, carrying something that comes off of our satellite, then they should be able to have a number to call in case there's a problem. And they also have a right that we honor the integrity of each of those stations, because in their own right, they're doing a phenomenal job, and it's just wonderful that we're associated with you, with them. Thank you very much.
Ray.
By the way, a lot of what I wanted to say was said by Rip, but I would not be interested in pointing fingers at anybody. I think that it's incredible that a piece of equipment which costs $2,500 would jeopardize the whole program, and we have to keep an eye on this and make sure it gets done. I had a question for Ursula. You said that there were still negative comments about Pacifica. Can you tell us some of what they were, more or less? What they dealt with?
Well, some people expressed that they didn't know if they wanted to deal or have the Northwest Network have a relationship to Pacifica, because that power had been abused by Pacifica in the past, and there had been a big struggle, and the fear that this could happen again, and that somehow this could affect their well-being. That was the main fear, right, Rip? Rip made made a very interesting observation about how Pacifica can't come through your computer into your office or something like that.
Well, yeah, they did print something that I had written in the packet for that meeting, and pretty much they just needed to kind of get a feeling for the way Pacifica is modeled now, and the fact that the way the board is elected, people just didn't understand what had happened in the reformation of Pacifica. And once that was explained, it seemed like that opposition in that workshop kind of melted away.
There's also just a natural, rebellion against a larger entity. They say, "Well, we want to reinvent the wheel, do it our way." That's
so
that's
they're not considering membership within the.
Yes, there was a proposal made that the Northwest Network would form a relationship with Pacifica to use the one part of the audio port that allows people to exchange content privately. So in other words, their relationship would not allow the stations in the network to get the content in the audio port. It would allow them to use the infrastructure that the audio port provides for exchanging content.
Okay, thanks.
Mary?
Yes, I certainly agree with everything Rip said. He said it better than I could, and besides, he already said it, but I ditto everything. I hear this audio port thing. I've got two things. One, I mean, this is kind of preposterous. I feel we have to do something tonight, and I hope that we can come to some kind of motion that will make sure that we get this thing ASAP. This is really unbelievable. And I always hear different things about the affiliate program, and I don't know. Can you tell me, is this board getting accurate and complete information about the program so that we know that we are properly informed?
You know, I'm going to say that if you don't want to answer that, you don't have to.
No, it's okay. I will answer it. I have to honestly say that having just gone through the budget process, yesterday we had a workshop about conflict resolution, and I think that there are some I feel that the budget process so far every year results in a lot of misinformation being expressed about the affiliate program, and this is something that I hope that we can resolve between the staff and management. I'll leave it at that.
I also want to say that the Finance Committee resolutions call for a revisitation of much of this budget because the budget calendar was not respected. A lot of things happen at the last second. And so what the Finance Committee is coming forth with is a mechanism for really going through some of these budget discussions in the detail they should have been involved in at the beginning. Don.
Well, some of what I was going to say has been said. I'll make this very quick. I mean, some of us who were around during the struggle to regain the network know that the affiliates boycotted Pacifica, and we were happy about that. They were really supporting the democratic, you know, regaining of democratic Pacifica. So in a way, with that crisis during the coup, you, Ursula, and others had to rebuild the affiliate program. And I was really inspired because one of the ways it was done is to offer affiliate services to some stations for no money whatsoever. I mean, do the Immokalee workers in Florida pay a fee at all?
No, they don't pay a fee.
No, so the Immokalee workers, the tomato pickers in Florida don't pay a fee. So that whole history, and during that time, it is my belief that the coup people inflated the income from affiliates because they were spending millions of dollars on lawyers and needed to kind of have a balance of the books. So I want to pay tribute. You've built affiliates beautifully, and so I won't say any more except I believe this board needs to look more closely at the affiliates' budget on a regular basis. I think the $2,500?
$25,000,
excuse me, I left it. Yeah, okay, that does alter it slightly, but not much. Because that is like less than half of what the board has spent at times on meetings of this nature. So I think tomorrow we should look at the budget for affiliates again as a body and see if we don't need to take some action, as I think Mary was suggesting.
Sarv.
Hello, Ursula. This is Sarv Randhawa.
Hi, Sarv.
First of all, I want to thank you for all your hard work and your committee and creating a confidence on behalf of affiliates for a consistent delivery of the programming that they can rely upon on day-to-day and month-to-month and year-to-year. I think that's a good news. Other thing that I want to talk about is that, as you know, our nation just goes tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. And with this current suspension of habeas corpus, and Katrina is still alive in our minds and the hearts and minds of millions, hundreds of thousands of people still in the Gulf Coast. They're still going through a lot of suffering. And our committee of LSB, Local Station Board, KPFA, we passed a resolution that we would like to have Pacifica presence in the Gulf Coast area and primarily in the New Orleans area. And if we can acquire a station or have our own station or have an associate station or some other way to show our presence there and continue to cover that tragedy and hundreds of thousands of people. Is there any kind of effort that you know of that are we embarked upon anything to acquire something in that area and
Yes, there's a small low-powered station in Port Arthur, Texas, that is really, it's located in the city hall of the town. It is, I think, 100% African-American, actually. And I am speaking with them about affiliating. They would probably wouldn't be able to pay anything, but I think the value of their relationship, they have a unique role in the area. They are involved with the distribution of money from FEMA, so it's very interesting, and it's a very political situation, and we've been talking with them. I am trying to find a possible affiliate in New Orleans. I think it would be great, and, you know, we're talking to a lot of people. In fact, Ebon Dooley is helping out with that. He's stayed on as an advisor in that way.
Great.
Well, thank you.
I'd like to know if the board would indulge me a comment, Ms. Chair. Yes. Any objection?
Okay.
All right. Somebody put the clock on me. I just want to echo and emphasize something Ursula said, which is this willingness to affiliate and the willingness by stations with larger budgets to pay a big increase if they believe in what we're doing. That's our business model, get people believing in what we're doing. When Ursula talks about the audio port, she's talking about a technology that was originally developed by Lynn Geary and Sean Ewald and several other people as RadioForAll.net, which was the first site for trading audio on the web, and was designed because the people who took over Pacifica were purging the kind of long format content from the air that can really change minds. And Pacifica then, with its resources, funded its further development into something called AudioPort, which was done as an open source project, which means it's available to everyone. What that means is any other network that wants to use that code to put something up like this can. They'll build it themselves if our approach is a proprietary approach that's hostile to their values. However, as long as we operate in a manner that's consistent with their values, they'll come to us. They'll even fund us for stuff that they really aren't being forced to, because they understand that you have to contribute to support something. So this spirit is very, very important. And I think this board needs to really think in terms not of just the growth of this foundation per se, but its role in serving a larger media movement, because no single institution can defeat the forces we're up against. We have to be in alliance with each other, and it should be an alliance based on solidarity and mutual trust. And so I hope when we're talking about our economic model tomorrow, we recognize that. We're talking about there are other organizations out there that have huge resources. You know, Ursula talked about, you know, this idea of we want to build it here first and reinvent the wheel. Well, there are sites out there. Democracy Now! Is hosted by archive.org, and they don't pay anything for all of their hosting, all of their bandwidth, all of their server space, all of the IT support that goes along with that, and all of the defense. There are other kinds of organizations out there with whom we can partner, and so we really need to strategize about those things that this institution can uniquely do and be in partnership with other organizations, and I think we can more efficiently use those scarce listener dollars and build support from our community. So thank you for the time to make that comment. I don't know if you want to elaborate on that at all, Ursula, but...
I'd rather see if there's any more questions. I agree with David, but I want to leave the time for questions.
Okay. Well, I don't think there are any others, so with that, we're going to move to public comment. I'm sorry?
Well,
Do you want to sum up? You have a final statement?
I think that the spirit of what you're saying is great, David. Going to the Northwest Conference was really an interesting experience for me. You know, as a coordinator of a current radio network, it was somewhat threatening to watch people building a whole new radio network and kind of like, well, what am I? But the truth is that it's a good thing, and the benefits are going to be huge, and there's just a need to understand that, you know, the more the merrier, and working together is really the goal. And it's very exciting, actually.
Okay, with that, we have public comment. I have a list of people who have signed up. Is there anybody in the audience who wants to speak or hasn't signed up? Okay. I happen to know your names, so I will just write them down. Yeah. Max, ma'am, your name?
Norma.
Norma? Okay, that's fine. I'll call you. Is there anybody else who'd like to be added to this list? Okay. Anybody else? I saw. Okay. The first person is Wendy Schrell. Next person is Richard Phelps. Third person is Steve Zeltzer. We'd like it if you could keep your comments to 2 minutes, and Deb Shafto will let you know when you have 30 seconds left and at time.
Okay, thanks very much. My name's Wendy Schrell. I came here from KPFT Houston. I'm on the local board there. And I want to talk about national programming as well. I'm very excited to hear Mr. Guma say that Pacifica is going to be taking an organized stand against the suspension of habeas corpus. This is very exciting, gives me hope. It's a reminder of what we are. Let's do it. While Greg was saying that, I had to think, though, you know, well, what if some of our local stations just decide not to? Greg says, yeah, Pacifica is going to be doing this. Well, what if our stations decide not to carry it? It's happening all over the place. I've been sitting here, and I've been listening to the discussion. We've got Spanish language newscast. That was a motion of the PNB. It was the one thing. I was on the board at the time, and we were unanimous in our support for Pacifica to have a national Spanish language news program. It's like pulling total teeth to get it on the air. You guys all voted for it. You're all on your local LSBs. You have relationships with your managers and your program directors. What are you doing to make sure they do it? Bernard stood up here and said, well, he's trying to put it on, but Greg won't let him. I hear that Ron's going to put it, that PFW is going to put it on. I think that's great. I hope we can get a progress report on that, because we're always on the verge of something great about to happen there, too. KPFT's putting it on. We decided we would take off another really good national, not nationally produced, but program that comes from another station, Flashpoints. We would take off Flashpoints to put on the national Spanish language news show. You know, we've all got really good local shows at our stations. I've advocated for local autonomy the whole time, but all of our shows on our stations are not super good. A lot of them are very bad. And right now, what we've got going, I mean, we see this administration is handing us so much material. If mainstream media is starting to get it, and we need to get together as a network. And I mean, we've got the name recognition already. Pacifica, we're known for more than just being dysfunctional. We have. It would be really easy to renew our good name by just doing some great programming. And all of us together, we can do that. I can't believe
Thank
that.
Thank you very much.
I mean, I can't believe. Okay, so we've got the. I'm at time. Put on informed dissent. Everybody should be airing from the vault. What a no-brainer. I can't believe that a show from the Pacifica Archives and our stations
Thanks
are not
very
all
much,
carrying
Wendy.
A very good show.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Richard Phelps. I'm chair of the local station board, a 30-plus year KPFA listener supporter. And I want to respond to what Greg Guma said about election coverage and quorum and so forth. You know, the election committee passed a motion 10-2 to put some air coverage on this election, and it was watered down by this body last Friday night, almost eviscerated. And the same people that voted to do that were the same people and their replacements from those same little groups that voted against directors' inspections and stalled that for 2 years and thousands of dollars of wasted attorney's fees. There's something about transparency in this organization that some people don't get, and I don't understand it. But, you know, we also have a situation with the general managers not getting the unpaid staff list together. There's this thing about not wanting the election to work somewhere in the underbelly here, and it's got to be gotten to. And, I'll give you a couple of other examples. You know, we want to build our audience. You put your strongest show on at prime time. If KPFA owned the San Francisco Giants, they'd bet Barry Bonds seventh. Okay? That's the way they do things there, because it's turf before mission, and that's the problem. You know, there's little coverage of live things. What's happening now, instead of having things live like we used to in KPFA back when I was around in the 70s and 80s, and there was a lot of sexy stuff going on the street, and we're out there covering it, what they do now is they record it and then play it for fun drive. So what's happening is a commodification of public affairs instead of the liveness that makes radio what it is. You know, I mean, you want to hear a debate between Chomsky and that crazy lawyer from New York. You want to hear it live, you know. Anyway, That's a very important thing. The other thing is, let's just get back to some reality at KPFA. Many of you have seen this email that we happened to run into where a whole bunch of staff people are talking about dismantling the LSB. You know, those people are three now are the IGM, three department heads, and four LSB members, three staff, and one listener. So
thank you very much. I think everyone here has agreed. My name is Steve Zeltzer. I'm chair of the KPFA Labor Collective. That there's a great crisis in this country, and we have to build our network. The question is, why isn't that happening? The fact of the matter is, listener audience is dropping at Pacific and at KPFA. KPFA is down to 0.5%. Now, one of the reasons is people are leaving. People are going to Air America. People are going to KLW. They're going to other stations because they're fed up with the lack of serious programming at KPFA. And the programming that's been supported nationally, and you paid money, we paid money for it, is not on KPFA, the Spanish program. It should be. People don't even know about it. So there are some obstacles. I think there has to be more national programming. And we propose, for example, that there be national days of programming around Labor Day, around May Day, around Women's Day, Martin Luther King Day, July 4th, and that we get the affiliates to contribute programming. And other affiliates, to have all the affiliates participating in a national day of programming, to really aliven things up and bring this strength that we have in creativity together. The other thing that's not mentioned here is New Orleans developing a station. Our KPFA passed a motion to have an affiliate in New Orleans. There are people there on the ground floor that want to do it, and we need one in the South and in New Orleans to get our message out and to help develop and train programmers in the New Orleans area, the Katrina area.
That's time.
Does anyone want to offer me their time?
I will.
The other thing is portals. We can have a labor portal, and we've suggested to this, having a labor portal that would compile all the labor news and labor programming nationally with, like, a labor news program. The labor news that's being produced locally could be brought together in a one-hour weekly labor show. If we had a labor portal on Pacifica, then we could get unions to tie into that program and get all the labor programming, which would be a cheap and easy way. You could do the same thing for Spanish news programming nationally, environmental programming. But there are systemic obstacles, unfortunately, in making these changes that we're talking about here. One, these unpaid staff organizations, they haven't had a meeting in San Francisco, in Berkeley, for 6 months. They refuse to have meetings. We complain to the manager. We complain to the executive director. No direction to the unpaid staff organization council to have meetings. So they haven't had meetings. They couldn't even get up a list of who's eligible until a few days ago. The other thing is that there's been banning of the KPFA Labor Collective. Our collective has been banned for a year without a process, without due process, without a hearing, and it was supported by Lem and the management of KPFA. We say this is unacceptable. If you're going to ban people, you have to have a hearing, and you have to have evidence and say this is the reason we're banning you. You can't just ban people, and this is what's going on at KPFA. The other thing is the program council. The program council is not pushing for national programming. Bonnie Simmons, who is on this national programming committee, where is she? We don't hear about the fight for new programming at KPFA. It's a dead issue, and that cannot stay as is if we're going to make the changes that we need. It's a vital instrument, Pacifica and the affiliates, if it's used. And right now it's not being used, and that's why the other stations around the country looked in some ways with contempt at Pacifica. Where is it? Where are the voices? This has to be brought out, and we, within labor anyway, want a national voice. We want working class programming of working people throughout this country. There's a desperate need to it. And actually, if we did it as a national network, we would get tremendous support from the AFL-CIO, from the unions in this country. They want to hear their voices. We have to do that. We have to provide that. And yes, some oxes are going to be gored. Some people have been had programs for 20 and 30 years and are sitting in this room, and they know who they are. They're going to have to move out of the way. That's all there is to it. We have to get some new voices out of new programming. And that means changes. And that's what we're going to be fighting for at KPFA and the network. Thank you. Reva Entine, Jane Jackson, Maxine Duggan.
Hi, I'm Reva Entine. I sit on the KPFA local station board.
I'm really actually addressing more the listeners in this board, because unfortunately I don't feel that this board really accomplishes anything significant. I would love it if you proved me wrong. So to the people who are listening and to people not from the Bay Area, these meetings cost $60,000 each, and we're meeting in Walnut Creek, which is about as removed from the Bay Area listener participation as possible. It was moved here apparently because of a last-minute embarrassing realization that the booked hotel was non-union. Many of us would like to know who is responsible. Again, for the listeners, there are fewer audience here than there are board members. There's less than 20 people sitting in the audience. The board is larger than 20. This is the Bay Area. It's a shame that there's no listener participation. And my feeling is moving to Walnut Creek, which is a conservative white enclave of the Bay Area, reflects a dismantling of the politics of the network. And I want to give some examples. Somebody from the Labor Action Committee to Free Mumia tried to get a pre-recorded announcement of a rally to Free Mumia, and he was told the PSAs are only allowed for groups holding benefits in which money is collected for a 501c3 nonprofit. When he explained it was a political rally for Mumia, he was told we don't do political rallies.
30 seconds.
We've had people on the air call anti-abortionist pro-life because that's what they want to be called. We've had panels on the Oakland Public Schools to have only administrators and no teachers. You've heard about the labor banning. There's now liberal Democratic Party support to a staff that's supported by entrenched staff who are running for the board and taking over the board. And I guess in conclusion, I'd like to read some words of one of a listener who said that he believes, and I agree, essentially the paid staff is implementing the same program that the former pirates would have. It's clearer and clearer that the major difference most staff had with Ms. Berry A.L. was fundamentally control and not politics. Time. I fear we are losing the whole thing. We have to stay alert, and we have to rely on the listeners. It's the only thing that we can count on. Thank you.
Thank you. Jane Jackson, Maxine Dugan, Sasha.
I'm Jane Jackson, also an LSB member from KPFA. Dave, before I speak, I want to be sure that I'm not going to be not allowed to speak, because I'm speaking now on Sunday in support of the archives, which is what happened to me in New York.
I'm not sure I understand. No. If you speak now, you'll be able to speak in other public comment sessions, although we will give priority if there's limited time to people who haven't had a chance to speak yet.
What does that mean? I mean, I'll either roll away because I'm not going to not speak about the archives.
I'll recognize you to speak about the archives.
Thank you. I want to say three things very quickly. One is that I do not believe that the program council of KPFA is charged with disciplinary activities, and somebody needs to look at what has happened to Steve Zelser and the labor collective. Secondly, this hotel is offering for paying guests, and I am one, a free shuttle. It will take you 3 miles, including to BART. It won't take me. But I don't get a discount for it. I just get discrimination. Thirdly, my van is sitting out in front. It was seized by Homeland Security for what I maintain is protective speech. I would like to talk to anyone who would like to talk to me, because it was bailed to the tune of $1,200. And I think that's something of an outrage. Thank you.
Maxine Dugan, Sasha, Regina Carey. Sasha, I can't read your last name. Futron.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. My name is Maxine Dugan, and I love KPFA, and I love Pacifica, and I love democracy. I want to welcome you all to, I guess it was the Bay Area, kind of the outside of the Bay Area. I appreciate that you've all come from a very far distance, some of you, and you're up pretty late, and I appreciate that. in the spirit of loving democracy, I passed out to you something that brings me great pain, and that is the grievances that I have filed at KPFA on behalf of the KPFA Labor Collective. Those grievances are about the lack of democracy at KPFA in the unpaid staff council and at the program council. And I really want to ask for your help in seeing a resolution to these grievances before you leave town. I filed those grievances with the executive director because we don't have any management at KPFA. We don't have any management that is responsive to unpaid staff concerns. And those are some things that I'm hoping that you can help hold management accountable for when you have the opportunity to do so. Part of the challenge in having democracy at KPFA is that the chair of the program council is also in charge of the elections for the local station board.
Time.
So that presents somewhat of an ethical challenge in that you have somebody who is involved in banning a whole collective of programmers, community programmers, involved in now the elections at the local station board level. So,
time?
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. Sasha, Regina, and Nancy. Kyler rhymes with Tyler.
Hi, my name is Sasha Futrin, and I'm running for the KPFA LSB. I used to work in broadcasting, including public broadcasting. And I just wanted to tell Steve Zeltzer and Maxine Dugan that they're really out of line here. They just don't get something. You were banned by that program council. And the problem is that you didn't throw any chairs. Had you thrown chairs, there would have been no problem. Because other people of the program council, hey, it was all over our newspapers, threw chairs in that meeting. And they're just fine, thank you. We live in a very progressive area here, and we are so hungry and thirsty for alternative news. And we don't get it. And we don't get it at KPFA. And the programs haven't changed in decades. And an unofficial group of staff members have been running the station now for years. We have interim station managers. We have short-term station managers. This cabal on the staff chases them out of town. We have had absolutely no program director in that time. We have a dysfunctional LSB. What's wrong? Why can't we get programming? Think about it. This isn't a joke. We're in really serious times. There are a lot of people who want progressive news and information. And we're not getting it from KPFA, and we're not getting it from Pacifica. And while you sit around and talk and talk and talk and plan what's going to be in 2 years, we're all going to have to go elsewhere. And we have. Look at your listenership.
Time.
What more? You know, get going. Start doing something. Hire a station manager at KPFA. Make sure that person commits that they will actually hire a program director.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Regina Carey.
Thank you. I'll be fairly short, and I would really love to get an answer within the next few days, if possible. And that speaks to the transparency that we have with finances. The LSB report on Monday for KPFA, the report stated that these meetings cost $65,000 per meeting. And I just can't figure out how we come to that amount. It just seems so inflated. And so it would be lovely to find out how that breaks out. And would love to see more. I would love to see more transparency in the finances completely. Thank you.
Since the speaker didn't use a full 2 minutes, we budget $30,000 a meeting. There was one meeting in New York that ran over by quite a bit, and I believe our last meeting in New York also ran over because the meeting was in Midtown Manhattan. I don't know the status of this meeting, but I do not believe it is anywhere close to 35. I believe we're under budget for this meeting. Am I correct, Lonnie?
Okay, but thank you.
We tried to answer this question quickly. We can continue the discussion outside if you like. Lonnie, do you happen to know what the amount is for this meeting?
Well, you have to add in the cost of the retreat.
So we'll get an answer to you.
Thank you.
I'll give you my commitment on that.
All right.
Nancy Kyler rhymes with Tyler. Then Steve Brown, Max Blanchet, and Norma.
Oh, hi, y'all. My name is Nancy Kyler, and I'm a member of the UPSO KPFA Labor Collective. I want to ask something about public comment, okay, because we have public comment at LSB, and I see no, it's a wild time. We get to say what we want, except there's no response ever. At any time. So I would hope that you people who are listening to this public comment, that you all take some notes, a secretary maybe, and come back to the public and let us know what you thought about our public comments. Why do we have it? I want to know reason why we have public comment if there is no discussion and no response from the people that we're directing it to. And now I'd like to start my 2 minutes. Hi. My name is Nancy Kyler, and I'm a member of the UPSO Labor Collective. There has been some negative comments on the Labor Collective's, about the Labor Collective's reaction to the programming ban by the Program Council, which was completely illegal. I applaud the stance taken by our collective against the unfair and illegal treatment accorded to us by the Program Council. We are loud and proud of our struggle against the undemocratic and unjust practices of the Program Council. We did make some noise. Lou Hill would be proud of us. I'm going to quote from Bob English. He wrote an email letter to all of us. Okay, he's an LSB candidate this year, and he's a KPFA member. I could not have worded the message any better. Bob, you remind us all of the ultimate goal here, an open, fair, democratic, diverse Pacifica radio station. KPFA is the flagship of the whole system.
30 seconds.
Okay. To quote Bob, okay, what is the opposition to this labor collective? Is it the assertive tactics and voicing of their frustration at the repeated rejections and one-year banning of their proposals, at the misscheduling, undermining, and last-minute sabotage of their special programs by the program coordinator? Okay, that's KPFA. We learned that at KPFA. We learned that. Okay, we learned civil obedience, disobedience, resistance, disruption of the status quo. This is where we learned it. And we're going to use it to get what we want. We want labor programming.
Thank you.
Our weekly labor programming.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Steve Brown.
Hi, I'm from the New York LSB, WBAI. I heard Alani say that he was happy that our finances were sort of rescued this year by a very large influx of large donor gifts. That really worries me much more than if our finances weren't rescued, because those donor gifts, large donor gifts, are going to be used to help us with our operating expenses. I think that's a big mistake. Those kinds of donations are very erratic and undependable. And when the station gets hooked on them and they disappear, we could collapse because we have no other way of support. We should look for more small donations from a larger number of listeners, and there are ways of getting that. My second comment is that it was mentioned that the Spanish language broadcast should be bilingual because some people would feel excluded. I think it's a mistake to feel that the idea is for somebody to listen to as many hours of Pacifica as possible. That's a mistake from commercial broadcasting, where the longer a person's ear is glued to the station, the more money they make selling advertising per minute. As long as a person listens to one program on Pacifica and supports it because of that, that's what we should try for. We should definitely try to exclude people from programs that they don't have to listen to. I will not listen to a broadcast in Mandarin or Urdu or any other language that I don't understand, and that's fine. We should be excluded if we can include people who otherwise would not listen to our station and support it.
Time.
Max Planche.
Oh.
Thanks. My name is Max Blanchet. I'm on the LSB. I'm leaving. I've given you 6 years. It's time to move on to make room for new blood. Besides, I think my blood pressure went up in the bloody place, so it's time to move on. But I'm giving you a fair warning, and I'm talking about myself. I'm listening less and less to KPFA, and this has to do with the quality of the programming. Okay? Let's be very clear about that. A lot of it has to do with the Internet. Every morning I read two or three French newspapers. I read El País in Spanish. I read La Jornada. I listen to Haitian radio stations on the Internet. I don't need to listen to Flashpoint on Haiti. And many people are in my position. They have other access to news, to information. That's what you're dealing with. I don't know how you solve that problem, but you solve it in part by offering quality programming. And in my view, there has been a deterioration. Okay? I'm not interested in progressive cliches. I'm not interested in agitprop. I'm interested in good progressive analysis. For instance, I listen to the Spanish program on KPFA 15 miserly minutes every week. And they've been interviewing this gentleman from La Jornada, intelligent comments on what's happening in Mexico. For God's sake, give them more time. If there is a Spanish program that has been developed, let's listen to it. And let's stop being so parochial. We are a network. We will survive as a network or we will go down. If we can't do that, we might as well break up. There is no point in having a network when we don't offer national programming. And it seems to me that given the money we spent on national staff, that's the least we should be doing. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Norma?
Hi, my name is Norma Harrison. I live in Berkeley. I'm all right, okay? Just leave it. Thanks. I want to suggest that the solution is to have news done on site everywhere that people are getting together over whatever they're getting together over that is oppositional to the system as it stands. I don't think we have enough contact with who's doing stuff to try to fix everything. I don't know quite how that fits in. I do have an interest in having national programming. I thought that's a good idea, and I know there's a lot of good stuff on KPFA, and I want to thank you all for working so hard on it. I mean, there's a whole lot of oppositional here, too, but nevertheless, people are working hard trying to work it out, and I'm not ignorant about that. In the meantime, I want people on site for whatever's going on. When Peace and Freedom Party has a meeting, when Nebel Proctor has an event, when anybody else has an event, I want somebody there at least to get a summary. First of all, say if it's a Peace and Freedom Party meeting, of what is going to happen there, and then a report later on of what happened there, maybe a 5-minute summary. And I want this to go on for every event where people are dealing with, challenging the system as it stands.
30 seconds.
We'd have then more interested listenership, because this would be live within the community. This would show our alliances with the community to develop opposition. This would be recognizing all the additional, like, international network news and indie media and so forth that do offer worldwide information regularly. We would have something other than that. I want imperfect programming. I want non-slick programming. It's too slick and it's too perfect.
We actually have 12 minutes left, so Mariah Gallardon, if you'd like to comment, and after that we will have probably about another 9 minutes left if anybody else would like to comment or comment again. Is Mariah in the room? Yeah, I will recognize people. I just want Mariah to have the opportunity to speak. Is she out there? We love, love, love public comment. Hey, Mariah. How's it going? Yeah, we have extra. You can have some. Mariah, she's dumbfounded.
I am dumbfounded.
Yes. Well, when you find you're dumb, go ahead and speak. You have a couple minutes. No? Okay, so we have about 12 minutes left. If anybody who got cut off would like to continue, Maxine and Sasha, is it?
Yes.
And Richard. And Max and Reva, each of them. Go ahead.
I'll just keep it really brief because I still love, love, love KPFA and Pacifica. I wanted to say something about national programming. I submitted a national programming proposal for Labor Day. And, you know, kind of like this public, you know, comment, it goes off into a black hole. And, you know, nothing comes back. You just, the black hole, you just go online, you get the little, you know, paperwork, you fill it out, you send it somewhere, and there's no acknowledgement that it got anywhere, that anything has happened to it. And I just really want to, you know, be a part of national programming on Pacifica for labor programming. I think that's really important. And it's like, you know, who do I have to talk to? You know, What do I have to do? You know, it's always Maxine, the little monkey girl. Oh, this is the little hoop you have to jump through, little monkey girl, to get what it is that you want for the labor collective or to get labor programming on the air. So maybe somebody can tell me that later. Thanks.
Yes, I just want to address one very specific case, Sasha Futrin again. Steve Zeltser was banned, as you've heard, from doing a year's worth of programming back in March. And he's been unable to get the local board to overturn that banning. It's a real question about whether the banning was ever legal because it was in a program council that probably doesn't have that authority to begin with. But in any event, Steve is part of a collective of 14 people that did a total from last September until this point of 8 hours worth of programming. And by the formula of how you figure out who's unpaid staff, at least at KPFA, or at least so Les Radke says, is you multiply the number of hours times 9. So 9 times 8 is 72, I think. And there are 14 members of the collective. Steve wants to run and filed an petition to run as a listener, since he certainly can't represent staff as someone who is banned, and since he didn't do the 30 hours required programming that KPFA requires, only 30 hours for the year. You work 30 hours for the year as unpaid staff, and then you run as unpaid staff. He's claiming, I think, something like 20 hours, roughly that. But there are 14 people sharing 72 hours, I want you to keep in mind. His candidacy is being held up. We're still waiting. I hope you ask the election officials about that one tomorrow. Thanks.
Thank you. Max? Tell me your name again. Norma, is it?
Nancy.
Max Blanchet, we were told earlier this year that the accounting, the system to back up accounting data crashed. And we've been told that there's been an effort to reconstruct this information. But we've been told also that some of the stations did not have hard copies of the data. I'd like you, for the sake of transparency, to give us a report at some point. If not today, perhaps later on in writing, to let us know exactly what's happening with that situation. I find it very distressing and appalling, to be quite blunt about it, that we could not find the money to set in place a decent system to back up our accounting data. I cannot believe that an outfit with a $17 million budget could not come up with the money to do it right, folks. Let's get real here. Thank you.
Richard, and then Nancy.
Yeah, I want to go back to this email that some of you have seen and just talk about some things related to that with what Greg was saying. We have an LSB show once a month at KPFA, and I've been trying to develop that as chair and have it balanced and different people on there and develop a tradition of getting out some talk about governance to our listeners. Three times this year, that show has been preempted for fundraising. And in each one of those times, I said to the people that do the fundraising, you know, we will do fundraising on there. It's our audience. We'll be glad to spend at least half an hour doing that. We can cut our short No. Now, an interesting thing happened the last two shows. The people that were given that show to run are all off of this list. All off of this strategy group that wants to dismantle the LSB. Is that a coincidence, or is that what you call patronage and cronyism?
Hi. My name is Nancy Kyler. I'm back to the labor collective banning again. Okay, I want to finish what I wrote. How many times does the labor collective have to tell their story and have someone listen? We get no response. With the aid and manipulation of staff members, the LSB keeps putting off the resolution that this action taken by the program council is illegal. I went back and read some of the communication of this problem since last October. And there were so many letters and appeals made by the collective and no response. It's time to respond. We need resolution. Mr. Guma, we need your attention on this mess. And we've needed it since you've been here. Please show up.
Reva, did you have one more thing?
Thanks. I just wanted to read what I sort of mumbled over. It's an open letter to the Paul Wellstone Democratic Club by Mark Sapir, executive director of the Retro Poll. And it's because one of our slates for the LSB, which is supported by the staff that wants to dismantle the LSB, is bankrolled by the Wellstone Democratic Club. And this is what he says, which again speaks to the politics that I was speaking about before. One of the main bones of contention by many supporters and listener sponsors of KPFA has been that much of its paid staff is too closely tied to the liberal wing of the Democratic Party, thus compromising its broader grassroots movement building efforts. What ought to happen is a more open airing on KPFA and some regular slots of different views on forward policies for the station, something which the staff, and I assume the candidates Wellstone has supported, are reluctant to see happen. The endorsement of a specific slate of listener candidates backed by the paid staff at the station, staff who have tried to otherwise peripheralize the station board election so that an airing of issues and differences in policy pursuits do not get a full hearing before the public on the air, is, to say the least, discouraging. And to end, I'd like to say my favorite morning show of late, which was a show on facelifts. Thank you. Voice of the Voiceless.
Thank you, everybody, for your comments and also for being here and taking the time to be here. We appreciate it. We will get details on the cost of this this event and the retreat as soon as we can. I can tell you, actually, the authorization, the budget is $30,000 for meetings, and I believe we authorized up to $11,000 for the retreat. Is that correct? Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll get an answer to you as soon as we can. Thank you again. We start bright and early at 9 a.m. tomorrow with the budget process. Thank you.
They're not on.